Have you ever had a bad day? Hopefully today's not one of them, but obviously we've all had one of those bad days. Have you ever wondered, how am I going to get through this? You know, here's another one of these days. How am I going to make it through this particular day? Have you ever wondered, why do bad things keep happening to me? What am I going to do in order to endure and to make it through what's happening all of these times? Do you think the Apostle Paul ever had a bad day? When you read through the life of the Apostle Paul, you read the book of Acts and you read of his various letters, did he ever have a bad day? He repeatedly had some bad experiences that happened in his life. So what I want you to do this morning, I want you to get your Bibles and turn to 2 Timothy chapter 4. And I want us to look at the closing verses of this letter, because in 2 Timothy chapter 4, what Paul is writing is what we've understood through history to be Paul's last letter. Paul wrote a number of letters that have found their way through inspiration and the preservation of God, have found their way into our Bibles, and yet 2 Timothy chapter 4 is the last one that he wrote. And when Paul is writing 2 Timothy chapter 4, perhaps you've heard us talking about the fact that Paul wrote a number of letters and he wrote them from prison. In fact, there's four books in your New Testament that are usually and often categorized as the prison epistles. But this isn't one of them. The prison epistles are usually described as Philippians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, and Philemon. Are usually described as the prison epistles because Paul was in a Roman prison and he's writing those letters from his experience in prison. But we learn that Paul was eventually released from that incarceration. And he spent some time going around preaching the gospel. But when we read 2 Timothy, Paul's back in prison again for the second time. He's back in Rome, back in a Roman prison again, and Paul recognizes he's not getting out this time. I want you to put yourself in Paul's shoes. He's in prison. The first time he was in prison, he believed he was going to get out. When you read the book of Philippians, read the book of Philemon, he believed he was going to get out. You read this letter, he knows he's not going anywhere. When you read this letter, you go back up into verse 6, and he says, "The time of my departure is at hand." He knows that his time is up. If you were in Paul's shoes, what would you be writing? What Paul wanted to instill within Timothy was the confidence that Paul had had throughout his Christian life. He wanted to impart unto Timothy a confidence that would help sustain Timothy through whatever Timothy would come across. And so what I want us to do this morning is I just want us to pick up these last couple verses as you're closing this book, especially verses 17 and 18. And just see if we can walk away today with the same kind of confidence that the Apostle Paul had, that no matter what comes, this confidence that we have in God, it's going to sustain us through everything that comes to us. So I want us to see five things in these two verses. And I hope that you will write these things on your heart, that whenever you have a bad day, whenever you experience one of those times where you're just like, I don't know how I'm going to get through this, that these five reminders can help you to remember, I've got a confidence as a Christian that can sustain me through anything that happens. First thing I want you to see in verse 17 is that the Lord stands with me. Look at what he says in verse 17. But the Lord, he's talking past tense in verse 17. He says, but the Lord stood with me. How often do you think Paul could look back and say, you know what? I only made it through that because the Lord stood with me. Have you ever experienced something in life and you look back on it later and you said, there's only one way I made it through that, and it's because the Lord stood with me. Turn your Bible to the book of Joshua real quick. Hold your finger here in 2 Timothy chapter 4, but I want you to go over to Joshua chapter 1, and I want you to put yourself in Joshua's shoes. As you read Joshua chapter 1, in the very first verse of the book of Joshua says, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, God came to Joshua and he said, here's David's paraphrase, you're up, buddy. Can you imagine being Joshua? And here's Moses, the great leader who has died, and God turns to you and says, you're up, buddy. Your turn. You're going to take Joshua's place. You're going to take Moses' place. And so I want you to see, what does God tell Joshua? Does Joshua need confidence? Is Joshua going to face some trials and some issues leading the people of God? Sure. What does God say to him in Joshua chapter 1 and verse 5? No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life as I was with Moses. What does he say to Joshua? As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. How often? How often was God with Moses? How often did God stand with Moses? He stood with him all of the time. And we need to recognize that God will always be there with us. Remember what Jesus said in Matthew 28? Jesus said, "Lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." Do you have confidence today that the Lord is always standing with you? Do you have confidence today on what God told Joshua? When you get down into verse 9, when you see God says, "Have I not commanded you, be strong and of good courage? Do not be afraid nor dismayed, for the Lord your God is where? He's with you." How often is He with you? Wherever you go. Do you have that confidence? Do you have the confidence that if the Lord is always standing with me, what does He say at the end of verse 5, Joshua chapter 1 and verse 5? "I will never leave you nor forsake you." Do you have that confidence? That same phrase is found over in Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 5, told to us as Christians, that we have a God who's always standing by our side when we faithfully serve Him. And He's promised you, "I'm not ever going to leave you." I don't know if you've ever had a bad day. You wondered, how am I going to get through this? Here's how you get through it. God's with me. He's standing with me. And He's promised He's never going to abandon me. But there's something about this word "stand" over in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 17. It's not simply just meaning that God is taking a position and He's just standing like somebody taking a position and standing. But the word involves more than just a physical location. It involves more than just God's presence. It involves the fact that God, because He is standing there with us, by His presence, He is there to help us. That's why He's there. He's not just there to say, "Hey, I'm here for you if you need anything." No, His presence is there to aid us, to help us. Paul had experienced this. In Acts 20, or in Acts 23 and verse 11, the Lord came and appeared to Paul, and Paul recognized that the Lord stood with him and the Lord encouraged him. It wasn't just that God's presence was there, but that God was there to help Paul through whatever he was going to have to deal with. Perhaps you've got a favorite psalm. I encourage you, if you don't have your psalm, if you don't have your go-to psalm, I encourage you to go and find it. There's 150 of them to choose from. Go and find the psalm that's yours, that you can write upon your heart. For some of you, perhaps that's Psalm 46, where David says, "God is our refuge and strength." Who is He? He's a very present help in time of trouble. That's your God. He's not just there. He is a very present help. So much so that you get down to verse 5, and verse 5 says, "God is there to help you just at the break of dawn." He's there from the beginning of your day to the end of your day to help you. I love Isaiah 40 and verse 11, when God is trying to encourage the Jews who were going to be taken into captivity. He says, "I'm going to come back and I'm going to take you." And what He says in Isaiah 40 and verse 11, He says, "I'm going to take you up as I would into my arms. I'm going to take you up into my arms and I'm going to carry you in my bosom." That's your God. Your God, when you're going through something, is standing right there with you, standing right there to help you. Now come back to 2 Timothy chapter 4. Because in my Bible, in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 17, my Bible in verse 17 begins with the word "but." Well, why does it begin with the word "but"? "But the Lord stood with me." Well, you got this word of contrast. What's it pointing back up to, verse 16? Pointing back up to verse 16, where Paul says, "At my first trial, no one stood with me." Your God stands with you when nobody else does. Perhaps you've been at that point in your life where you thought, I'm out here all alone. I'm trying to do this all by myself. You look to your left, you look to your right, and you're like, it's just me. It's not just you. At my first trial, no one stood with me. They all forsook me. Everybody abandoned Paul, but there was something he realized in verse 17. The Lord stood with me. As a faithful child of God, when you experience some of those trials, some of those hardships in life, number one, remember, the Lord stands with me. Look in verse 17. Paul doesn't just say, the Lord stands with me. He looks in the past and he says, it's not just the Lord stood with me, He strengthened me. He looked back and said, it wasn't just the presence of God there, and it wasn't just the presence of God helping me. The Lord strengthened me. I love the Greek word that's used here for strengthen. It literally means, it literally takes two words. It takes the word in, and it takes the word power or the word strength. It's as if Paul is saying God took His power and He took His strength and He just poured it in to me. That's what God is ready to do for you. Is to take not your power. Your power is not going to get you through it. What did Paul say in Ephesians 6 and verse 10? Be strong in the Lord and in the power of whose might? That's His might, not my might. My might's not going to get me through it. He says, be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. And this word in 2 Timothy chapter 4 verse 17 literally means He took His power, He took His strength, and He just put it within me. Now, why did He do that? Just so I could be stronger? Just so I could be, you know, the He-Man or the Hulk or the whatever and be... No, the word that's used here is a word that means by the fact that He has strengthened me, He has caused me to now be ready to function in the way that He wants me to function. It's not just that He gives me strength and, oh, great, now I can get through whatever this is. No, no, no. The word that's used here, the Greek word that's used here means God has caused me to now be ready to function and to fulfill the purpose that He has for me. Not just some random strengthening. It's preparing me. And this is what Paul says. I went through all of these trials and all of these issues in life, and Paul says, the Lord strengthened me. Well, why did He strengthen you, Paul? So that you could fulfill the purpose He gave to you. And that's what he says back in 1 Timothy chapter 1. 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 12, Paul says, I thank Christ Jesus our Lord who enabled me. The New King James has the word enabled. He enabled me. It's the same Greek word that's used here. He strengthened me. Well, Paul, what did Jesus do with you when He strengthened you? 1 Timothy 1 and verse 12. He put me into the ministry. It's not just that He made me strong so that I could stand there and endure whatever trials came to me. That's part of it. But He says, He was strengthening me, He enabled me, and He put me into service. That's what God is doing for us. Is He standing with me? Yes. Is He aiding and helping me? Yes. Is He pouring His strength into me? Yes. Why? So that I'll serve Him. So that I will be more equipped as His servant than I was before without Him. That's my purpose. That is my function. He has enabled me to function, and He's the one helping me to do it. I'm not here on my own. I'm not here striving to be a Christian on my own. I'm not trying to walk through this Christian life all on my own. He's there strengthening me so that I will do it for Him faithfully. He's there helping me. Maybe Philippians 4 verse 13 is your favorite verse. What does Paul say? I can do all things through Christ who does what? Strengthens me. Same word that's used here. What is He doing? He's strengthening me to do what? To do all things. What's He strengthening? Is He giving you the strength to change your oil this afternoon in your car? Is that the strength He's giving you? Is He giving you the strength to be able to go home and clean up the kitchen that, you know, that's been sitting around? What is He giving you the strength to do? Is He giving you the strength He's given you the strength to do all things for the cause of Christ. Is He concerned about you changing your oil? Sure, but He's not going to give you muscles in order to change your oil. He's concerned about giving you spiritual muscles to serve Him. Now look in 2 Timothy 4 and verse 17. Do you have the word that, T-H-A-T? You have the word that in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 17. The Lord stood with me. He strengthened me. Now, why did he do that according to verse 17? Why did the Lord empower me? Why did he take his power and his strength and pour it into me? That I might preach the message. That the message might be, do you have the word fully, completely? That the message might be fully preached through me. Paul knew he had a purpose. And his purpose was to preach the gospel of Christ. And he says, the Lord stood with me. He strengthened. Where is Paul? He's in prison. What's getting ready to happen to him? He's getting ready to die. And he says, the Lord poured his strength into me so that I would have boldness to keep on preaching. So that the message might be fully preached through me. Why would that happen? The rest of the sentence. And that the Gentiles all might hear. Brother and sister in Christ, that's our purpose in life. Our purpose tomorrow is not to go to work. Our purpose tomorrow is not to go to school. We're going to do those things. Our purpose tomorrow is not to be retired and to sleep in and to do nothing all day. Some of us will do those things tomorrow. Our purpose tomorrow is to go into all the world and preach the gospel to everybody that we meet. That is our purpose. That's why we've been created in Christ Jesus, is to find individuals who need the gospel that I have and to share that with them so that their life can be transformed into the image of Christ. That's my purpose. How am I ever going to do that? I'm going to pray and ask God to give me the strength. And he's going to pour that strength into me so that I will go and fulfill the purpose. He causes me to function in the way that he has designed me to, because he stands with me and he strengthens me. When you go through some trial in life, where's the Lord? Sometimes we ask that question. Why would God let this happen to me? Where is God at a time like this? He's in the same place he's always been. Right there standing next to you. Right there strengthening you. Third thing we see in verse 17. Lord not only stands with me, and the Lord not only strengthens me, the Lord saves me. And you might probably have the word deliver here, and it's a word that means to save. It's a word that means that God takes and he rescues me. He rescues me from some situation. He rescues me from some person. He delivers me. Had Paul ever been delivered? Go and read 2 Corinthians chapter 11, starting in verse 23 down to verse 28, and see all of these various things that Paul had been delivered out of. And so that at the end of verse 17, what's he saying? I was also delivered out of the mouth of the lion. What's he talking about? Is that a literal lion? Yeah, maybe. I don't know. He's a Roman prisoner, and they like to do various things with Christians and lions. I don't know that it's a literal lion. Some people have talked about that maybe it was Nero that was the Roman emperor, and that he was delivered out of his. I don't know if he's talking about Nero. Perhaps he's just talking about trials of life in general. And using that as a metaphor and say, where was God in all of those bad times? He was delivering me. He was bringing me through those situations. Is God still doing that? Is God still delivering me? Is he still bringing me through? Is he still saving me out of those things? You remember this part of the prayer? Jesus gave us various things that we should pray for. He kind of gave us this model prayer that says, here's some things that ought to be a part of your prayers. Give us this day our daily bread. Remember that part of the prayer? We pray that a lot, right? Give me, God. Give me, God. Here's what I need, God. But remember this part of the prayer? Deliver me not into what? What's he talking about in Matthew chapter 6, down to verses 12 and 13? When you get to this, give us this day our daily bread, forgive us our debts as we forgive those who are indebted to us, and then do what? Deliver me from the evil one. Does God do that? Does God deliver you from the devil? Is the devil coming at you? Is he that roaring lion that's seeking whom he may devour? Have you ever prayed to God, God, please help me to overcome the devil? You ever prayed that? Jesus says to pray it. Deliver me not. Don't allow me to be enwrapped by the power of the devil. Help me, Lord, to endure. Help me to escape Will he do that? Paul says he delivered me. He's delivered me out of those trials. Now, does that mean that the devil's never going to tempt you? No. Does that mean that the Lord's never going to allow the devil to tempt you? No. But 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9 says, the Lord knows how to deliver the godly out of temptation. How does he know how to do that? I pray and ask God, God, I need your strength to be poured within me. Where does that strength come from? I study his word. And when I study his word, I write his word upon my heart, and thy word I've hid in my heart that I might not sin against you. So when I'm tempted, his word gives me strength. He's there with me to help me to endure those temptations and to get through them. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 13 says that he delivered. The same word is in all of these verses. He delivered us out of the power of darkness, translated us into his church, translated us into the kingdom of his dear son. Paul had said earlier that God had delivered him from unreasonable and wicked men, is the way the New King James reads. Do you have unreasonable and wicked men in your life? Have you ever prayed to God? God, I need your help. I need your help to endure and to get through and to get around these particular situations. Paul had earlier in 2 Timothy chapter 3 talked about the fact that God had delivered him from persecutions. Now, you may be sitting here and thinking, wait a minute. Paul was persecuted over and over. Where was God when Paul was being persecuted? And Paul had all sorts of enemies coming and making all sorts of accusations against him. Well, where was God when that was happening? Paul says, the Lord stood with me in those hard times. He was there to aid and to help me. Where was God? Paul says, the Lord strengthened me. He was pouring his strength into me so that I could fulfill the purpose that he gave me. And the Lord was saving me. He was delivering me, not just from them, but delivering me through them. Flip back one page to 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 11. When he talks about the persecutions and the afflictions, notice in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 11, he says, the persecutions and afflictions which I endured. Well, if God really loved you, Paul, he wouldn't let those things happen to you. No, bad things still happen to good people. Well, where's God when that happens? He's helping me get through it. So that when I come out the other side, I am stronger because of what I have had to endure. Where was God? He was with me through the whole thing. The Lord stands with me. The Lord strengthens me. The Lord saves me. Go to verse 18 real quick. Two more things in verse 18. In verse 17, Paul was in the past tense. Did you notice that? Stood with me, strengthened me, delivered me. All past tense. But you get to verse 18, and Paul is in the future tense. Past tense, he's done this. Verse 18, future tense. Not only has he saved me, not only has he delivered me, he is going to keep on. He will always deliver me. Now, remember where Paul is. He's in prison. Did Paul think that he was going to get out of prison? That's a trick question. Did Paul think he was going to get out of prison? Yes. Ha, I tricked you. Yes, he did. I said earlier he didn't think he was going to get out of prison because verse 6 says, the time of my departure is at hand. But trick question, did he think he was going to get out of prison? Yes. Guess what? He was getting out of prison one way or the other. One way was he was just going to be released by man and he could go free and roam the earth and preach the gospel. Or the other, he was going to get out of prison and go and be with the Lord. Either way was okay with Paul. He was getting out of prison. But what Paul does is he looks in the past and he says, the Lord's delivered me through all of these things in the past. The Lord is delivering me. He knows how to deliver the godly out of temptation. And what he's doing in verse 18, he says, he's going to keep on delivering me. He will make sure that whatever come what may, well, Paul, you might die. And Paul's like, yep, I might die. And I'm okay with that. What does he say back up in verse 7? I fought the good fight. I finished the course. I've kept the faith. Therefore, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness. Right now, he says, it's laid up for me. And he says, I'm okay with that. We had that lesson several weeks ago about a Christian's view of death. And Paul did not fear death. Paul was like, bring it on. I'll get to go and be with the Lord even sooner. He knew the Lord would deliver him. Whatever way the Lord chose, the Lord was going to deliver him. And the Lord would keep on delivering him from all of this wickedness and throughout the rest of his life. The Lord was going to be with him. And ultimately, that same word delivered is over in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 10. That for faithful Christians, the Lord delivers us from the wrath to come. Here's the Apostle Paul. He's sitting down and writing this letter to his very good friend Timothy. And Paul has had this confidence that when you read about the life of Paul, you're like, where did he get this confidence? How does he have this kind of confidence that's going to carry this through? And he's writing to Timothy and he says, I want you to have this same confidence. Back up into chapter 1. Back up into chapter 1 and verse 12 where Paul says, I'm not ashamed. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. I'm not ashamed of Jesus Christ. I'm not ashamed of the chains. I'm not ashamed of being in prison. Can you imagine being in prison and people making fun of you because you're a Christian and that's what got you in prison? Paul says, I'm not ashamed because I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that he's able to keep whatever I've committed unto him until that day. And that confidence carried him through. He knew that the Lord would keep on delivering him one way or the other, and he was okay with whatever way the Lord decided to deliver him. Finally, what you see in verse 18, in this future tense, Paul says, not only will the Lord deliver me, but verse 18, he says, the Lord will deliver me from every evil work. And then the second verb, he will preserve me for his heavenly kingdom. The word preserve, or the word that the Greek word that is used there for preserve, means that there's some transcendent danger that's out there and he's going to save me. He's going to deliver me. And ultimately, this is looking beyond this earth to the fact that he's going to save me from that eternal death in hell. He's preserved me. And so I think it's the New American Standard or the ESV, maybe it's both of them, that read in this verse, he will bring me safely into his heavenly kingdom. I want you to think about that. You have a bad day. You go through some hard period of life. Perhaps you get a medical diagnosis that you didn't want. Perhaps some family member is dealing with some issue of life. And you're thinking, how am I going to get through this? And you need to think about the fact that one of these days, the Lord's just going to take me safely into his heavenly kingdom. Is that okay with you? Is that okay with you as a Christian for that day to come? And the Lord, he saves me, he delivers me, and he preserves me. He safeguards me. He delivers me safely into his heavenly kingdom. Here I am as a Christian. It was said this morning in one of the prayers, how unworthy we are as Christians. Do you ever feel unworthy? You ever look at yourself and say, I don't deserve to be forgiven? You ever look at yourself and say, I don't deserve what God has done for me? I don't deserve to be able to go to heaven? And you know what? You're right. You don't. On your own. But because of Jesus Christ, because of what he's done for you, he wants to take away every sin you've ever committed. And he wants to deliver you into his heavenly kingdom. What does he ask of us? He asks of us in 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 10 to make our call and election sure. That's what he asks of us. To keep on keeping on. To serve him faithfully. And the promise there is that if we do that, we will never stumble. How is he going to keep us from stumbling? He's going to walk with us all the way into that heavenly kingdom. Home. Does that appeal to you? Does that excite you to think about what our God is going to do? In 1 Peter chapter 1, Peter writes to these Christians. The book of 1 Peter is being written to Christians who are suffering persecution. And he's trying to bring them hope. And you know what he says in 1 Peter chapter 1? He says, I want you to understand verse 3, how blessed your God is, how awesome your God is. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has begotten us again unto a living hope. You've got a hope as a Christian, but it's not a dead hope. It's a living hope. You know why you have a living hope? Read the rest of the verse. Through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Jesus is alive today, therefore your hope in Jesus is alive today. And so we've got this living hope. What is this living hope in verse 4 of 1 Peter chapter 1? We've got an inheritance that is incorruptible, undefiled, and fades not away. Those three descriptions of heaven, that it's incorruptible, it's undefiled, and it fades not away. Each one of those words just is a wow word. But the fourth word is what I love the most. Incorruptible, undefiled, fades not away, reserved in heaven for you. God has a place reserved for you. And verse 5 says, it's reserved for those who are kept by the power of God. If you're a faithful child of God, God is protecting you. He is keeping you. He is safe guarding you. He is preserving you for a eternal home in heaven. And what does He ask of us? Just keep on keeping on. Just keep on doing your best in serving Him. And when those bad days come, keep your eyes on the prize. Keep your eyes on the goal of where you are headed. This morning, do you have this confidence? Do you have the confidence that will sustain you no matter what happens in life? Do you know the Lord stands with me? The Lord strengthens me? Do you know that the Lord saves me and delivers me? Do you know that it's not just something He's done in the past and in the present, that He will keep on saving me and delivering me? He will keep on preserving and safeguarding me. Now, we're not done with verse 18 because Paul's not done. Paul doesn't just say this, hey, Timothy, look at these five things. Aren't these wonderful? Paul gets to the end of saying these five things. And look, are you at the end of verse 18? What does he say? He says, when I think about what God has done and is doing and will do for me, he says, to Him be glory forever and ever. That needs to be us. Not saying, look at me and how great I am. It has nothing to do with me and how great I am. It has everything to do with God and how great He is. And Paul gets to the end of this thought. He's in prison of all places. You're going to say to God be the glory forever? You're in prison because of that God. To Him be glory forever and ever. When we get the attention off of us and we get the attention on the Lord and all He has and is and will do for us, those bad days won't matter so much. We'll think about what our purpose is in this life, and we'll ask God to strengthen us so that we can fulfill His purpose in our life. Where are you today in your relationship with the Lord? Have you been saved from your sins? Have you been delivered and rescued by God out of your sins? There's only one way that He's going to save you now and save you eternally, and that's if you do, not what some man, some preacher, some person holding up a Bible tells you to do, if you do what this book tells you to do in order to be saved. The New Testament teaches us that we need to believe that Jesus is the Son of God. Have a faith in our heart, a faith that He did come and live a sinless life. He did come and die on that cross, not for His sins, for my sins. He was buried in that tomb, and on the third day He was raised from the dead. Do you believe that with all of your heart? Jesus says, if you believe that, then you need to make up your mind. I need to stop sinning. I want to get away from sin. I need to make up my mind to turn away from the wrong in my life and turn my life in the direction of God and say, I want to serve my God. The Bible calls that repentance. And Jesus says, unless you repent, you're going to perish. You need to make up. Are you ready to make up your mind today? I want to give my life to the Lord. If you're ready to make up your mind to do that, then you keep reading the New Testament. It says, I need to confess the faith that's in my heart and I need to be baptized, immersed in water, baptized into Christ, so that at that moment, not before. At that moment, the sins that I took when I walked down into that water, I knowingly am baptized so that those sins can be washed away by the blood of Jesus. I can be added to His church. I can live with Him forever in heaven because that's where He's written my name. And then to keep on keeping on. To keep on doing my best to serve Him faithfully. To keep on making sure that my call and my election is sure in the eyes of God. And His promise is that He will bring me safely into His heavenly kingdom. Have you given your life to the Lord? The song we're going to sing is a song that comes out of Exodus chapter 21. In Exodus chapter 21, God was giving the law to the Israelites. And among the many laws that were given to the Jews at Mount Sinai was the fact that if there was a slave who had been enslaved for a period of time, but it was time for this slave to go free, he may decide, you know what, my master's been good to me. My master has taken care of me and my family. It's time for me to go free, but why would I want to go free? I want to stay here with my master. I want to keep serving him so that he'll keep taking care of me. Somebody says, why would a slave ever do that? That slave would make up his mind to do that. In Exodus 21, the Bible says, if that slave decided that, then his master was to take him over to the doorpost of the house. He was to take an awl, and he was to pierce his ear. And the symbolism of that pierced ear, when it was seen by that man, by his family, by others, that pierced ear was a symbol that says, that man has given himself fully and for the rest of his life to his master. Have you given yourself fully for the rest of your life to your master in heaven? Do you need to say to God today, pierce my ear? Do you need to follow these steps that He's outlined in the New Testament to become a Christian today? If you've never done it, why don't you do it right now as together we stand and sing.